and it is time to go on the air, which is the name of the program. Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021. It is a palindrome, last palindrome of the year, and last palindrome for a long time, because I don't think 2022 will see any palindromes, which is the date backwards or forwards the same. We are now into winter as of yesterday. We are gaining daylight hours as of today, 21 minutes past the hour, and just a few days before the big Christmas holiday. Now, Glenn Coble is going to be with us today from 10 until 12, and then he'll be on with Dr. Feynman discussing politics and Christmas from 12. It'll be a good show, 12 to 1. And then Glenn's off to North Carolina, and Adam Lepp will be filling in for him tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Swap Shop and on the air. Now, I do want to remind you that today, Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman will be on from 4:15 until 5 p.m., and I believe Nate is giving away a $50 gift card to Bob Evans. And then at 5:10 to 6 p.m., because of a technical glitch on Sunday, Pastor Craig's Study His Word Christmas Edition will be on live today from 5:10 until 6 p.m., and then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7. So a full day of programming ahead here on WWGH. Don't miss any of it. Does anybody have anything to say about Thunderbolt Patterson or anything else that went on this morning? 740-383-9944. Glenn, you listened to Thunderbolt as you were rolling in this morning. What'd you make?
I love Thunderbolt. I think he's a wonderful man. And I've had an opportunity to talk to him privately and on the air. And every time I've talked to him, it reaffirms how genuinely kind and wonderful a guy he is. However, today as I'm driving down here, I was thinking, listening to, you know, he got into that the religious cadence, I'll call it, of the African American minister, where they, and I can't do it, but I started smiling because we used to live down the street when my dad was at St. Paul's Methodist Church in South Bend. We lived maybe 3-4 blocks from, I think it was called Christ Tabernacle Church, which was an African-American church, and we'd go up there to listen. Quite frankly, their sermons were much more interesting than my dad's, and the music and everything, but I just love listening to that cadence that he gets into, that, you know, that with all those blank spots in between words, makes you think, doesn't it? He's a nice guy, so it's easy to listen to him.
Well, I just think he has a ton of charisma, and I've often thought over the years, I'm not sure where charisma comes from. Now, a lot of people will say it's the environment that you grew up in. I'm not necessarily sure that it is. I don't know where charisma comes from. I think it's a combination of things that probably happens in your life, but I also think you have to be somewhat innately born with it. I think it's kind of like curiosity. How do you teach somebody to be curious? I think you just have to be innately born with that, and then hopefully foster that over your lifetime.
There are people that teach you how to be charismatic, and I've listened to some of their speeches, and I never find them very enlightening. they're not terribly charismatic speakers.
Well, the problem with me is that I don't know any charismatic speakers right now who are under the age of 40. And that I don't know what's happened. It seems to be charisma is coming with a suit and a tie, and that's what passes for charisma now.
Maybe Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete. He has kind of a charismatic, because he always has a nice smile. Always, he looks good, and he speaks kindly. And maybe he's one that, I think he's under 40, isn't he? I believe.
I define charisma as you don't always have to be nice.
No.
And, you know, we got into a conversation the other night at the Christmas party here.
We had that big fight about?
Well, yeah. But no, we got into a conversation, it was off the air, I do know that, about radio personalities who are not exactly as they portray themselves on the radio. And I know a lot of those people.
Yeah, sure.
Who they do not want to offend. Now, they'll go into a break, and they'll be very, very offensive. about something or someone, but they would never do it on the air. There's, and I think that's two different type of broadcasters. There's one who's very aware of offending the audience, and there's another one who's not there for the audience to love them, so they are free to say what they want.
Yeah, having come from the world of athletics, I had a lot of coaches who were absolutely wonderful on the stage. You know, you'd take them to the post-game interview, and they'd be wonderful to the media people. And as soon as you got them out of the room, there would be all sorts of foul language, and that guy's a jerk, and they're completely different. That is one of the things that I hated about working in that business. I hate dealing with phony people like that.
Well, I you know, it's all subjective, because it you can't really be subjective about yourself. But I never understood that type of broadcasting, because my feeling is you're not going to agree with everything I say, and you're not necessarily going to like everything I say, but that's okay. Because who agrees on everything? And hopefully you like the show enough to stick around. And that's what my belief has always been. But some people's belief is never say anything controversial, never give an opinion, stay away from everything that you can, and try to be a personality. Now, that will keep you out of a lot of trouble, and nobody will dislike you, but what did it mean? What was it worth?
Well, one of the reasons why I love to come on radio is, in general, when I'm walking around town, I would say most people would say I'm one of those type of people that is a pleaser. I like to say hi to everybody. I like to show them I like them and stuff, and I will never say anything negative to you out in public. On my show, I can say what I really believe. I'm the flip side of that, I guess.
Well, it's never about knocking something. It is always about, it's never about taking a shot at somebody or something. It's just about giving your opinion on something, much like you would do over the kitchen table. And I think that is lost on a lot of people. But I think some people want to be loved. I think that's the whole goal. And I don't know if that's the best goal to have. Maybe it is for some people.
That's probably what's motivated me most of my life, is I've always wanted people to like me. And so therefore, I rarely, in days past, I would rarely say anything negative to a person. But now, as I get older, I don't mind, and I try not to be negative, but I try not to also sugarcoat it and make you think I really don't care because I wasn't really listening.
Well, I'll tell you why it's on my mind in particular, because tomorrow is the 81st anniversary of broadcasting in Marion.
Ah.
And I know I can run down that list of almost every broadcaster who I've known or heard broadcast, and I knew the ones who were doing a show, and I knew the ones who were 90% off the air like they were on the air. Mm-hmm. And I always felt the authenticity of somebody was much more important. I knew people who purposely avoided talking about anything that would offend anybody. And that's fine. I mean, I don't judge it, but it was, understand, it's purposefully done. Mm-hmm. These people are aware of the news. These people are aware of what's going on. They just don't do it on the air because they're afraid that it will make them disliked by some.
On the air, and I've been on the air since I was 16, on the air, I've never purposely tried to avoid responding to a question or something like that. But I'm afraid I have to admit I'm one of those people, especially when I was younger, that tried not to say anything controversial.
Well, it's interesting to me because now, as far as political opinion go, I would never give that on the air because you interview a lot of politicians and you don't ever want them to feel uncomfortable. But as far as an opinion on something going on in town or something bigger than politics. If you're not interviewing somebody who is going to impact that, then I think it's okay to give your opinion. And if people don't, you know, I don't know. If people criticize you on that, like the whole fruitcake thing, you know, that turned out great. But that came out of a genuine dislike for fruitcakes that has been going on for 7 Christmases, 8 Christmases on this station.
You mean Charlie didn't like the fruitcake?
Well, I mean, Paul Savage wrote that song about fruitcake, like eating something with super glue. That song came out of conversations that Charlie and I had about him liking fruitcakes and me not. And all these years later, we had a fruitcake toss, which was a major success, front page of the newspaper, all based out of a dislike for something. So I think sometimes a dislike, an honest dislike, as long as you're honest, I don't think you should do it to put on a show.
Yeah,
but if it's an honest dislike and something grows out of it, well, I don't necessarily always know that that's bad.
Well, I honestly told James Anderson I didn't like snakes, so what did he do? He brought one in.
Right. And sometimes those can be great, great moments.
Was fun. Yeah.
So I just think that as we approach the 81st anniversary of broadcasting in Marion, I look back over all those broadcasters that I got to know, and I got to know a very good majority of them, that we've had some really, really good ones here. And unfortunately, a lot of them are no longer with us,
yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of them have been forgotten because they were on so long ago. But boy, did we have some good ones in Marion.
Do you remember who, what was the, it was KTKH, was that the first radio station?
KTKA, was that it?
Something like that. KDKA, yeah.
KDKA.
Yeah, and that was the first broadcast, apparently, was 1920. So what was the first broadcast here in town?
1940.
So we're a little late, but got there fairly early.
But you know, it's still there.
Yeah.
It's no longer local, but the AM station is still there. That's what basically is 81 years old,
yeah.
Is the AM station. The FM station didn't come until about 20-something years later.
Mm.
But those people were so sharp. Madge Cooper, sharp. Bob Mason, who brought broadcasting to Marion, sharp. Joe Ione, best newsman, period. And I've talked to a lot of great newsmen here in town. Anybody who ever heard Joe Ione do a newscast knew he was the best. He had the voice. He had the connections in town. The Dugan News at 1 o'clock. Joe Ione was the best. And left to go work for the Columbus Dispatch after he left here. Greatest newsman.
Took his voice with him, huh?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they say the hallmark of any good broadcaster is being able to write well. And Joe obviously could write well to get the job with the Dispatch, which is where he spent the balance of his career. But you know, these people, and I'm sure a lot of people listening have no idea who I'm talking about. The Madge Coopers, the Joe Ione.
Madge Cooper, yeah.
Yeah, Madge Cooper, Joe Ione. Marianne Michaels was tremendous. I'm trying to think of some other ones that were really good along the way. But they were a different breed of broadcaster. They were working with very crude instruments at the time. You know, sometimes just one microphone in the middle of a table, and that's it. And you had to cue your own records, and you had to cue your own spots, and it was very hard. You really had to be sharp to do it, and boy, those people could do it.
People don't know how difficult it is to cue your own record while you're on the air.
Absolutely, and make it seem like you're not.
Yes. I did that for several years, and I never did it perfectly.
Well, but it's just amazing to me that those people... I've always thought, had it not been for those people, I don't think it would have lasted. Many local radio stations went under all over the country or went commercialized long before ours did. And I think one of the reasons was that early group was so riveting to listen to. Madge Cooper, Bob Mason, because Bob was on the air, by the way. A lot of people don't know that the founder did do a show on Sunday afternoons.
Huh.
That whole, Joe Ione, that they were the early group. Rod Serling was there for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That they were so good that people just park theirself on that dial and never left it. So everybody who came after that initial group was basically living off what that first group had established.
Did you ever get to hear any of the early Rod Serling broadcasts? I wondered if he had that same cadence, you know, that halting cadence.
When he was there, he was primarily a writer.
Oh, okay.
And he did voice some commercials, and he voiced...
That's a good voice.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, the cadence was pretty well similar, but he was not Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
You know, he was writing Sutton and Leitner commercials, and he was doing D-Day remembrances and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, mystery goofy goblin type of thing.
Yeah.
But those people were just really good. They were really professional. And I think that's why it's still here 81 years later. And I think that's why television never took over, because honestly, cable television did come to Marion early. We had CATV in the early 1970s. And it did not overtake radio in this area. Could have.
Yeah, could have. We're a pretty small market for them to generate enough income, I guess.
Even in the 70s, when more people... it was free television.
Yeah.
I think that radio was still king. People still went to the radio to get their...
And the Star was pretty big, too, I would imagine.
Star was still big, absolutely.
Now we have Sophia and a sports writer.
That's it. Yeah, it's kind of being cut a little bit.
She just asked me to be a friend of hers on Facebook. And Sophia, if you're listening, I absolutely want to be your friend. What a nice young lady she is. I really appreciated talking to her a couple of times that I've had the opportunity to, and I think everybody should read her stuff. She covered you pretty well with the camera.
You know she did, but it was one of those, again, what I was talking about last week, when I'm interviewing Lily on the front page of the paper, it looks like I've got the sourest face in the world.
You're just eating the fruitcake.
I must have. I must have just had that fruitcake in my mouth, because it's an interesting look. But it was okay. I was okay with the pictures. I thought the pictures were good.
Yeah, it was. And whoever gets, three or four pictures?
Three, four.
Spread.
On the front of page, above the fold.
Yeah, above the fold.
Which still means something, because
sure
people
does.
still get the color photos.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, I was proud to see it.
Well, what it said to me was this fruitcake toss
me
is
in there,
something.
But
I know, it was because your toss was puny.
It was sickening, yes.
But here we are in 2021 and 2022. We'll have fruitcake toss again and see if we can knock 72 feet out.
Yeah, I'm going to work at it.
It's going to be very hard,
yeah.
Very very hard. Now here we are. This is really the Christmas show for you, because you'll be off. Next few days. Now, this time of year, do you feel Christmassy yet? Did you enjoy the Christmas party last week?
I did. I never stop feeling Christmassy. Around, November and December, and even into January, because I have two of my three children have birthdays within 2 weeks of Christmas, and being a minister's kid, Christmas is big time for me, and even though I'm an atheist, I still believe in a lot of the teachings of Christ, and I also believe that that we should honor people that have that as their religion, and I kind of honor all the traditions of Christmas.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Glenn Coble.
Yeah.
So it's really true. I'm doing your show for you tomorrow, or Adam is. I think I'm Adam.
Yeah, I know you're Adam.
Okay. Well, that's right. I was there Monday 8th morning, so I guess I'm functional then. And you have any tips? I guess you don't want me to do too good of a job, or they might fire you and give me that show permanently.
Yeah.
Any kind of tips?
I think you're in trouble, Adam. I think you're in trouble. Because I
happy sandbag the show, so I make sure.
Here's what I'm saying, Adam. I think you're in trouble. You filled in for me Monday, and you did a good job, but you had such a great guest. The guest, I think, carried that show. And I don't know that you have a guest tomorrow. So I don't know how it'll go.
I might have the psychic on. I'm in negotiations with him. He wanted a clause in his contract, kind of like the athlete. So I'm kind of working on that. So we might, Of course, he probably knows that he's going to be on since he's a psychic, but it certainly is a possibility.
You didn't call in because I said something nice about you today, did you?
Well, people love Marian history, and Adam had Bob Goyer, mm-hmm. who owns the Huber home, one of the Huber homes that was here in Marian, and people love that. People love Marian history.
I I've told you I kind of wonder, what is our listenership? Well, after Monday, I think our phone bill is going to go up.
How can you listen to my show, Adam?
My finger's tired from pressing that button.
But Adam, on average, I get 10 more calls than you had on Monday. So how in the world do you have a question about the listenership?
Well, the calls are shorter because if you play trivia, it's like, okay, well except when I call and I talk for 15 minutes. But if somebody calls and for 5 seconds and gives a trivia question, that counts. The only short call we had was a lady who asked if the house was haunted. I guess it's not.
Well, but they're still listening.
That's a good thing.
If they're playing trivia.
There's no question. There's no question of our listenership, but it just when you see it yourself and you just see those phones light up. I mean, I could have spent 2 more hours with him. He was only supposed to be on the first hour, but it's like,
oh, don't do that.
We barely scratched the surface, so let's just stay an extra hour. So
he gets phones, and I only get one phone.
Well, he was hosting my show.
Oh, okay.
You know, number one battleship here on the station. It was a good show.
It was good. And Bob was excellent. You just, every day, it doesn't matter if you've lived here for 50 years, you realize all the history in Marion. Mid-Ohio in general with the Mansfield prison, the diverse geography, and all the things in Marion. I mean, there's Harding, and that's just scratching the surface. And I just love old homes. And just how he talked about how he mows the place himself. He and his wife clean the house up. I mean, it's almost 10 times the size of our broadcasting facility.
Hmm.
And they have a living area. I mean, kind of like the White House. Like I told them, you don't just go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and say hi. Where is Joe
Adam,
and Joe hanging out?
Adam, Now, why is it when you have a guest on, you let them talk, but when you call into my show, you have these soliloquies that go on for 17 minutes, and you talk over me?
Well, the windpipe guy called 4 times, so I think he was trying to beat me at my own game, which I think he did.
Yeah, but pretend I'm Bob Goyer and let me talk every so often.
No, I'm done. I was done. But, yeah, I mean, I can sometimes do that. I just mainly was asking Glenn if he had any tips, and should I sandbag the show, Glenn, just so they don't fire you and have me take your place?
No, go ahead.
Do that.
If they want to fire me, I'm good with that.
I think there's a pretty good chance the show's going to sandbag anyway. I don't.
Radio people are like athletes, and you've been both, Glenn. I mean, if you've not been fired, I mean, it's a badge of honor.
Yeah, I've been fired twice.
Urban Meyer got fired. I mean, is it because the?
I don't think that's a badge of honor though for old Urban Meyer.
No.
I think it's more the team. But it's also a case that college coaching is not the same as the NFL. They really are different.
Did we just change subjects?
I think so. I got banned from that one.
Billy Martin, I mean, it's a badge of honor in radio and in sports if you get fired, because everybody does.
I've never been fired in radio.
No, I haven't either, but...
I have.
But many
I'm waiting for it. I'm looking forward to it.
I got fired because I asked for my money.
that's unfortunate.
He didn't like
that. Will happen.
Yeah, he owed me $3,000 and wouldn't pay me. Yeah, so he fired me. Never paid me.
Yeah, well, that can happen. but it's not not a big deal. But I think we can all coexist. And the swap shop. So yeah, let people know if you have anything you want to sell or something you want to buy. Just be ready because I will take those calls. So I can pretend I'm Bob Barker. And
make sure you have some trivia, because I think I've been averaging 2 calls each show.
You know, it was interesting. Two things I listened. I didn't listen to the show Monday when Adam was on, but I did. I was in the car, so I heard bits. And what I heard, Mike McGinnis, you know, Big Mike, our sports guy, who was at the Christmas party, he said, anything's better than Scott Spears with having Adam on. And I said, well, I hope he judges sports better than he does broadcast talent. I certainly hope that. And number two, Adam got into a conversation with our dear friend Ernie Brees at the end of the conversation, and I had to turn the radio off because Ernie was trying to tell Adam he doesn't get on the internet, his wife doesn't get on the internet, and Adam's trying to tell him how to go to the internet, and it was like listening to The View.
I like
well,
The View.
It happens, but, you know, I can't just call up Marlo Thomas.
That's exactly right. You can't just call up Marlo.
Still there, so... We do have our listeners, and there are celebrities to us. They're what makes the station. So
who's that?
Our regular listeners. I mean, Lee, Ralph, Sarah, Michelle.
Oh, listeners make the station. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I wouldn't talk over them.
Well, sometimes it just happens. I might not have been paying attention, but I try to. You know, I try to make sure it's just one person. Talking at a time.
I just hope Ernie got his recipe from Nate. That's all I hope.
Yeah, he emailed me, and I passed it over to Pastor Craig, so he'll get a CD, which is very generous of him. That just shows how much people like our hosts and our diversity of talent, or, you know, so-called talent at the station. Some people have talent, and I'm not sure what I have, other than the Windpipe, of course, which, again, I kind of like that name. It doesn't offend me.
The Windpipe?
Kind of funny.
Yeah, he got nicknamed the Windpipe.
Really?
I mean,
yeah.
I have my name for you, Scott. I mean, it's not really an insulting name, but it's kind of humorous.
Okay, give it to us.
No, interviewer to the stars.
Yeah, but it's okay. But, you know, I've never been completely satisfied with that because I don't know that, you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like I should be a psychic. Is what it sounds like to me. Like I should have a Ouija board somewhere doing some kind of work. But I mean, I understand it's meant in a very positive way. I appreciate it.
And then we have two different names for this show. It's officially called On the Air, but my name is Scott and or Glenn at 10.
And or?
A little cerebral wise guy. So that's what I call it, Scott and or Glenn at 10. Because that pretty much sums the show up. But, you know, On the Air, I guess we can use that, but just keeps you guessing if you have different names.
Well, Adam, people will look for you tomorrow at 10 a.m. till 1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And thanks for covering.
I will be there, Glenn. So, yeah, not really any tips at all. Just keep yapping and ask people to call.
Have some trivia just in case.
You mean, should it be like local history trivia?
Christmas.
That would be great.
Christmas trivia.
Yeah, Christmas trivia would be good.
You know how sick I am of Christmas, guys? I'm not a Christmas person to begin with. Can I do maybe TV shows in the 70s and the 80s? That's
sure.
That'd be great.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, well, we'll try. And are you driving to North Carolina, Glenn? Or are you flying? Or
no, my wife won't fly. So we're driving.
So you're taking the Coble car.
Yeah.
Taking me a train.
With the dog that gets car sick.
Okay. With the dog?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, well, drive carefully. And
we will.
Sounds like a fun trip. There's a lot of mountains between here and North Carolina.
So yep, sure are.
Okay, well, drive carefully, Glenn.
Okay.
Have a happy Christmas, Kwanzaa, Festivus, whatever you celebrate. And
okay.
I'll likely run into you in 2022.
Okay.
Talk to you later, Adam. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Adam, and the show was good Monday. Bob Goy, you're on Marian History. Good subject. Good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just, you know, you tune in at bad times, I think. And I don't know what was going on as I was getting in and out of the car Monday. I was trying to shop. That was a disaster. I'm done. I'm done shopping. I have some things to wrap, but no more shopping. And I have the little get-together for Christmas Eve that I need to plan, and so I'm just going to deal with that now. But I tuned in, and Mike was saying something about, and I think he was being jocular, of course. You know, anybody but Scott Spears. But when he and Ernie got into it, it was unfortunate. Go ahead, caller.
Ho, 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 Ernie. Merry Christmas to y'all.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing.
Merry Christmas,
how you
Bob.
Doing well. Have you started into the Christmas libations a few days early?
I started back before Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm glad you're going to be with us Friday, Bob.
Right. Yes. I listened to your show again. I listened to the replay. That was pretty good. I tried to call him, but I kept getting voicemail.
When Adam was on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And guess what?
What's that?
I might get a chance to get out of the house this afternoon.
You might get what?
I might get a chance to get out of the house.
Oh, eat out of the house?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
They're going to try to get me out this afternoon for a while.
Oh, what are you going out to eat? What are you having for lunch there, Bob?
Yeah, as far as I get is a porch. They're going to try to get me out and get me to the store so I can get a few things.
Well, I'm glad to hear. Well, you have a good time if you're out, Bob, and be safe. Be careful out there.
I'm getting cabin fever.
Yeah, cabin fever. So what are you going to buy if you go out? Cabbage?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Have fun.
I'll let you guys get back out.
Be safe. Bye-bye. Longtime listener, Bob Austin. Going to go out and be safe and have fun. And by the way, I want to reiterate, it wasn't Ernie's fault at all. Ernie just wanted a recipe that Nate had given him. But I don't know. I couldn't even reenact it. It was one of those moments where Adam, I think, got ahead of himself.
Well, hey, I had some great food yesterday. It was my 52nd anniversary, wedding anniversary. So I always take my bride to a...
happy 52nd.
Yeah, and usually an Oriental restaurant, and that's what we did again, and went to the House of Hunan and picked up. You can't go in, but had a great evening with my sister-in-law and my wife.
Beautiful. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, a while back you had a category on there about Ohio broadcasters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we guessed all but one, and I never heard you.
Oh, you never? Yeah, we did finally get it. It was, who was the one? Oh, Sky Lucy, Casper the Camel.
Oh, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, well, he's hanging right up on the wall here. We've got an autographed picture of him in the studio. Hey, I heard you call into Windpipes Pro when he subbed for me on Monday. I thought, what a traitor you are.
Well, I wouldn't find out about that house.
Well, I think that's what saved him, don't you? I thought he had a good guest.
Yeah, he had something, you know, it was pretty interesting.
Right. But you did miss me. That's the truth, right?
Yeah, what happened to you Friday night?
Well, we were on Friday night. We just got on an hour late because we had a technical difficulty up at the tower that we had to fix, and we got on about 9 o'clock. So we were on about an hour Friday night.
Oh, well, I checked, and you weren't on, so I didn't.
Yeah, no,
I didn't have the radio on, and I didn't know you ended up coming on.
It plopped on about 8:45, so we did an hour on Friday night.
I thought maybe it was on account of your voice because you was...
No, my voice was going out. But, you know, that was, see, now right there's the listeners of this station. Friday morning I came on and my voice was hoarse from the fruitcake and the Christmas party. And Judy Smith came in during one of the breaks with a hot cup of water from Speedway, green tea, and sugar for me. Now that's the listeners of this station.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad you enjoyed Adam on Monday, and we'll see about tomorrow.
Okay,
thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in.
But, you know, I do like the listeners of this station.
I do, too.
They are fun. They are enjoyable. I think they get the joke when we're having fun with each other, and that's a lot of fun. Although, Sarah, you know, our friendly bus driver, did call in the other day and said she did not listen to all of our Christmas special because we were hounding you so intently in the beginning about your alcoholism that she thought that's what the whole show was going to be about, and it wasn't, was it?
No.
No, we sang well.
You let me off the hook after a few barbs, and they were not justly aimed at me because I was not drunk.
Well, I didn't say you were drunk.
No.
My contention is not that you're drunk. My contention is who takes a somebody from somebody in the street and just dumps it in their cup and drinks it?
I trust everybody, so.
Oh, Lord. Oh, and also the lady who brought me those cracker cookies, I got to thank her.
Yeah.
Delicious treat this holiday season.
Well, who eats cracker cookies from a lady off the street?
She looked okay. She looked fine by me.
The lady that had the, whatever the name of the whiskey
alcohol,
was.
Alcohol and cracker cookies are two different things.
Now, if she had twisted the cap on it and I hadn't heard it pop, I wouldn't have taken it.
So you say.
Yeah.
Boy, did we have fun at the Christmas party, though. We haven't talked since then.
Okay, we haven't?
No, that was Thursday night.
Yeah.
It was the singing was great. Well, I mean, for our group.
You don't have to praise me.
No, but you know what? Somebody called in. I forget who called in. And they said, Glenn professes to be a great singer. He was in this Army-Navy band.
I don't profess to be a great singer.
Well, that you sang.
Yeah, I sang.
Okay, but they said, how did he sing? And I said, to be honest with you, he never got in front of the microphone. He'd sat over in the corner, and I couldn't hear you. I have earphones in.
I was trying to make sure. One of the problems that we always have with it, and it drives me buggy, is we have so many people with not so good pitch. And I'm not saying that you don't have good pitch, but you don't.
I don't.
No. So I was singing loud enough. I was hoping people would stay on pitch, and they did. Pretty much.
We kept the rhythm, and there were some hard songs. I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
That one I did not do.
Marshmallow
well.
World. We got the Wassailing song on.
I thought about it after I left here, and I said, what we really need is my wife to play all those. She plays the piano. Have her play all those songs on the piano, record them, and then that way we'll have a background music to what when we sing, because we really struggle with pitch and rhythm.
But isn't what we're doing caroling, really?
No.
Well, they don't take...
Carolers know what they're doing.
Yeah, but I mean, we're a bunch of people who are singing songs without any musical accompaniment, which is what a caroler is.
I'm not sure that that would be the definition of a caroler, but it could be.
Well, that's my definition of a caroler as we head into the Christmas holiday. 740-383-9944, if you'd like to call in, if you have anything to say. 740-383-9944. I did let people know, though, that if they were so satisfied with Adam on Monday morning, that we could make that a permanent change.
It'd be fine if he is permanently on Thursday for me.
No, it's just I could sleep in.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I don't mind coming in, but sleeping in every day would be kind of nice.
That would be nice for you, yeah.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. I'd be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed every afternoon.
That's why I do the Thursday morning show most of the time, so you can sleep in.
Yeah, but 10 o'clock...
But you're here.
Yeah, but no, 10 o'clock's not bad. Doing a 10 o'clock show is... That's not getting up early. I would not have to force myself to get up that early. But sometimes to get up at 6 to be here at 8, now that's a little early.
It takes you 2 hours to get here?
Well, you have to get dressed and take a shower, and I stop and get a drink and, you know, give a little show prep when I come in, check the news, make sure. There's nothing on the fan. What are you rolling your eyes at me for?
I'm trying to think how long it takes me, and I think it takes me a total of 45 minutes to get here.
Well, you shower quick.
Yes, I do shower quick. My wife's told me that many a time.
You haven't got caught in those McDonald's lines.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
So you wouldn't make it.
No.
You wouldn't make it.
No.
So it takes, well, let's say an hour. Let's say you stopped at an hour. Well, you have to get up before that.
No, I'm talking...
Did you get up in the shower?
I have my alarm set. It goes off at 9 o'clock. And, 9:05, and I'm here by 10.
Well, my alarm is actually set for 7 because I can do it in an hour. But I always wake up before that.
Yeah, I wake up before it, too, because my dog wakes me up now.
Here we go, we're Wassailing.
Good old buddy. Yeah, Wassailing. That was nasty tasting stuff.
It tasted like potpourri, I thought.
It did taste like potpourri, yeah.
But who
wants to drink potpourri?
Well, to be honest with you, that night my throat was starting to go because of the fruitcake toss, so it felt okay. it felt like it was permeating the throat.
Well, I'm happy that it made you feel better. It was nasty. That's all I can say.
Well, here we are in the holiday spirit. Now, what are we going to do with the next hour? You should do something very Christmassy.
Okay. I'm up for anything.
Well, we'll come up with some kind of Christmas
we'll think about another break here.
Trivia here and come back with that.
Oh, I hate Christmas trivia.
Well, why do you hate Christmas trivia?
Well, I mean, I guess I could do it fine, but... I'm not in the trivia mood today, that's all.
Do you know that I am 90 days in to the Geraldo Journal?
Are you really?
More than 90 days. We started September 16th.
And there was kind of a crack in the wall, wasn't there? Wasn't there kind of a thought that he might be able to make it?
Well, there was at one point. And, you know, it's not gone, but a lot of people seem to think he'll never come. You know, people
that
have
was
tried
me.
Yeah, but people have tried to put up roadblocks, and people have at that WTAM were a little difficult. But hey, you know, here we are. We're still doing it. And when he does come on, because I'm a positive thinker, I want to send the episode and the journal over to the Historical Society.
I think it's a great idea.
I think they should have it in their archives. Now, Fred Malone, he's never asked me for it.
No, but I think he knows that you're thinking about that, and I think he's game.
Well, wouldn't he want that? Now, I'm telling you, people would come from miles around.
And it's a wonderfully bound book.
What could we give him from the fruitcake toss, the annual fruitcake toss? The fruitcake's gone. I think somebody ate it.
Well, yeah. I don't know what we could
get. The newspaper, a framed newspaper of the first fruitcake toss.
Yeah.
And
it
something
wasn't
else.
The first fruitcake toss, though.
Not really, but yeah. The first competitive one.
And because the first publicly noted one.
Yeah. Well, and did you hear Adam talk about me talking to Marlo Thomas last night?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you that story.
Okay.
On the other side of the break. I told it this morning, but maybe we'll have some new listeners. I'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Wrapping their gifts. I mean, I would rather get their gifts just for the wrappings. I don't want to undo them. Wonderful artistic work. I have none of those genes.